Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head-on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening on this Sunday night, live from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And we just want to welcome you to Breaking the Silence. And I am Greg. No reason to call me Dr. Williams. Just call me Greg. Douglas, thank you for that awesome introduction. We appreciate you and Don and all the work that you do. Seems like I've been online with you guys all day. We did a church service this morning live on BBS TV, and that went pretty well. I understand that Facebook and Zoom and all of these big internet webinar systems literally got buckled up today because there were so many people online at the same time. And it's just going to be coming in a different world around here. But we just want to welcome you to Breaking the Silence. And we have a great show for you tonight. I'm going to start off with some housekeeping things just to let you know what's going on. And first of all, we do want to let you know that you can call in live and talk to us and the guests. You can talk to me and ask a question or a comment, whatever sounds good to you. At 888-627-6008. We love to get calls. You know, we don't get a lot of calls, probably because I would imagine you're all sitting at home thinking, does this guy ever take a breath? He wouldn't be able to take a call anyway. But Douglas is on there, and he'll be glad to answer the phone, and he'll patch you right through into us. So if you want to call, 888-627-6008. I want to let you know I'm kind of stressed. And the world's changing around us. And this afternoon, I had a feeling this was going to happen. Our office building literally has been declared to shut down, so nobody can go to work tomorrow. We have to work from home. Anybody that knows me knows that change doesn't go well with me and that I like to do everything from the office to where I'm comfortable and I have access to. But tomorrow, I'll be doing everything from my home. So those people that email and text and expect things from me, it may look a little different than it normally does, but give me some time and patience, and I'll try to get around to y'all as fast as I can from my home office now, because we at Baylor College of Medicine and Texas Children's Hospital are going to kind of emergency mode with what our world is doing around us with this coronavirus. This virus is going to make us stronger in the long run. And with that thought in mind, I really believe as a country and as people, with that thought in mind, I just want to throw out, I always like to start off with just some thoughts. This week, I believe, in the next couple of days, I have two coronavirus webinars, podcast, and sessions that I'll be doing live on TV and radio with other podcasters and radio guests, radio hosts that have invited me to be on their programs to talk about what this stress does to us and how to get through the anxiety of that. So I'm going to be talking about this kind of thing for quite a while. But, you know, the first thought I just want to throw out there while we're chit-chatting at the very beginning here, struggling with problems like this virus is a natural part of growing. Part of growing up is experiencing the unexpected speed bumps, troubles in life. And people, you know, they lose their jobs, they get sick. Sometimes there's tragic car accidents. And the smartest and oftentimes hardest things we can do in these kinds of situations is to be tempered in our reactions. And to remember that the tragedies and these problems are rarely as bad as they seem. And even when they are, it gives us an opportunity to grow through them and become stronger people. So I want to encourage you, don't let this break you. Let this embrace you to a stronger person. Let it impact you in such a way that you come out even stronger at the other end. And every now and then, it's okay to fall apart for a little while. You don't always have to pretend that you're strong. You don't always have to let everybody know that I've got everything under control. There's no need to constantly try to prove that everything is just okay and you're fine. Cry if you need to. It's healthy to shed your tears. I cry a lot. The sooner you do, the sooner you're going to be able to smile again and face your problems head on. Try to, and this one's tough, emotionally separate yourself from your problems. You're far greater than what the problems are that you're going through. You are a living, breathing human being who is infinitely more complex than all your individual problems added together. And that means you're more powerful than them. You have the ability to change them and to change the way you feel about those problems. So try to emotionally separate yourself from those. And please, don't make the problem bigger than what it is. You should never let one dark cloud cover your entire sky. The sun is always shining on some part of your life. And I get it. I get it. I understand. Especially on like these gloomy days, the last couple of days here in Houston, and the problems, and you look out the window, and there's no traffic. You go to Ross, you go to the restaurants, you go to all these places, and there's no cars there because they're all shut down. And you start kind of feeling trapped that it's dark around you. I want to let you know the sun is shining on some part of your life, and always remember that. Sometimes you have to forget about how you feel and remember what you deserve and just keep pushing forward. So don't make the problem any bigger than what it is. View every challenge that you deal with, every one of these problems that we deal with, as an educational assignment. And I think America, I think the world, is learning a lot of tough lessons through this right now. And if we can learn from this, we're going to be better and stronger on the other side of this. Another thought, things change, but the sun always shines the next day. The sun's always going to rise the next day. The bad news is nothing is permanent. The good news is that nothing is permanent, okay? So these problems are not, we're going to get through this. We're going to go get through what you're dealing with right now. There's another side to this, and it's going to be over, and you're going to get through the tunnel and get through the darkness. One more, and then we're going to get to our guest. And this one's tough. You may want to write this one down and put it on your refrigerator. You ready? It's better to be hurt by the truth than be comforted by a lie. We have to see things how they are instead of how you hoped, wished, or expected them to be. It's always better to be slapped with the truth than it is to be kissed with a lie. So it's always better to search for truth. And there's no greater truth than sometimes what the Word says. Sometimes what our Maker says, sometimes what your faith is grounded in, and through all of this, never forget that and hang tough through that. Now, this show has a lot of different guests on it. We have professionals, we have counselors, we have yoga experts, we have artists like we had last week, we have physicians and neurobiologists like we've had, and all of these different things. I never want to apologize when we have a guest that may tonight go on a religious side of what God has done for them in their life. I won't apologize for that. And if you expect an apology from me on that, you're listening to the wrong show, because I don't do that. We're talking about breaking the silence. What did it take for you to endure your pain, and what helped you get through that pain? And I want to let you know that our guest tonight knows the definition of pain, knows the definition of hurt, and has been there, and she's going to tell you how she made it through. So hang with me, but I want you to listen to the heart and the story that she's going to share with us in just a few moments. If you want to call in tonight, 888-627-6008. I also want to encourage you to hop on shatteredbythedarkness.com website. Jump on there. My son Curtis is working hard at updating that. And there's a lot of new pictures and things on there. I think there's a save the date about a conference that we have coming up. There's a picture of the new book that's going to be coming out. I'm still trying to finalize that. I'm shooting for the first week of June as the kickoff for that. No promises, but that's what I'm shooting for. But a lot of good information on there, and if you want to contact me, you can get through me right through that website. So feel free, shatteredbythedarkness.com, and thank you, Curtis, for all your hard work on that. Now, before we bring our guest on tonight, I want to bring on a lady that introduced me to this guest. And I just want to bring in Denise. Denise, are you there tonight? Can you hear me, Denise?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hey. All right, Denise. Welcome to Breaking the Silence. And Denise, I invited you to jump on tonight just a few minutes ago because it ran through my mind to introduce you to the world, but also to let people know how we met, how it wasn't just by chance, although it looked like it. We were both at Atlanta at a conference. Is that not right?
Yes.
And yes, you were sitting on a little bench outside the exhibit hall, and I was looking for a place to pop my bottom down to get some rest too. And I sat on the same bench with you, and we just started chewing the fat. And tell me, Denise, kind of what came from that conversation?
You know, it's interesting. I, too, believe that things do not happen just by chance. And I also believe that we're exactly where we need to be doing what we're doing. And with that, it was such a great honor to meet you, because I think the greatest gift was, here we were, as you say, chewing the fat. And as it turns out, I'm waiting to go to your presentation without even realizing that. So that was a true gift for me, and what an honor it was. And so being there, and for the right reasons, which is basically looking out for children, trying to be the voice that they need, trying to represent them, trying to protect them. And being there in that setting with other educators and professionals, and it was the entire experience was amazing. In short, it truly was. And I thank you for all of that. The information that you shared with me was not very different from other experiences and stories that I've heard and still hear of. So if there's anything I can do to be of service, all you have to do is ask.
Well, I appreciate that. And you ended up, I think, being in the front row of the seminar, or the workshop that we had, or what do they call it, a breakout session that we had immediately following our discussion. And you were right there, and I did my presentation. And now I'll be coming to your city to meet with all of your teachers and staff, and to do a great conference here coming up maybe in the summer, correct?
Yes, and we are so excited and definitely looking forward to your arrival.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. That's in July, I believe. Yes. I don't know, I believe it is. Yeah, that's going to be great. Well, thanks, Denise. Now tell me, why did you mention, hey, you have this radio show, as we was talking, you need to get this person on the show to share their story. Why do we need Sharon on the show tonight?
Because her story is so impactful, and the most important part to me is that she was able to live through those experiences and the adversity that she experienced, and the fact that she always felt that no one noticed her and that she didn't matter. But I need her to know that she does matter. She always has. And we are in such a different place where we are now looking at people in a different light and wanting to be of service and wanting to hear the stories, because there are so many other people out there with their own stories that I believe once they are able to talk about it and share their stories, it's also a healing factor for them. And again, we're letting them know that they are not alone. Sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. No, that's good. That's good. Okay. Well, thank you, Denise. And Denise recommended our guest tonight, and she is from just right outside Orlando, Florida, Sharon Sanchez. Sharon, welcome to the program this evening to Breaking the Silence. How are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, the show's about over. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week. No, I'm teasing. We still have 45 minutes, so we're okay, but we took a little longer than normal. But I wanted people to understand, and you may have stories like this too, Sharon, that you just don't bump into people. We need to open up our eyes and our minds and our hearts to what is actually happening around us. There's those divine moments of passing, of intersection, and I think that's really important in life.
I agree, and nothing does happen everything happens for a reason. It's not just by chance.
You know, I spent this afternoon after going up to the office and trying to get some things settled there before they close us out tomorrow, to read your book, to read your story, and that book is called Blessed with a Second Chance. And before we get too deep into, because we're going to take our first break in just about 2 or 3 minutes, tell me why the title of the book, Blessed with a Second Chance. Why did you come up with that? What's that mean?
Because I was finally able to go on without all my baggage. I could finally show my face and talk about it. Even though it hurt, I could still talk about it. And before I couldn't, everything was be hidden. It was around the time you couldn't talk about those things. And I was blessed to be able to. I was blessed.
Yeah.
I'm just
so
totally blessed.
With that title of the book, that you've been able to actually share your story, how long had this been trapped up inside of you before you felt you were able to tell the story?
All my life. It was a surprise to my whole family when they read it, when they heard it. Because I kept it all inside all my life. I mean, it was until I was almost 50 before I finally wrote it all down and said, I have to tell my story, because I'm not the only one that's gone through this. There are so many others, but we keep it inside because it's something you don't talk about. Mm-hmm. It's something you just don't share.
And don't you think that World War II generation forced us or kind of brainwashed us to keep everything quiet? What happens in our house stays in our house. We don't tell anybody. Is that the way it was with you?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. And that's a damaging effect that we are having the repercussions for today. I really believe. Now, we're getting ready to take our first break, and I'm glad we are, because I hear your voice. I want you to take a nice drink of water or soda or coffee and just take a deep breath. On the other side of this break, we're going to dive into this, and Sharon, we're going to take this as deep as you want to go. And I know this is going to get emotional, and I know this is going to hit some people's hearts that's listening in. Instead of those people breaking down and not listening, I really want everybody to dig deep, hang on tight. The roller coaster is getting ready to peak at the top of the hill, and we're getting ready to go into this world that you're going to share with us. Hang on tight, and I promise we're going to be safe on the other side. So on the other side of this commercial, don't turn your dial now, because you won't want to miss the next 40 minutes of Breaking the Silence. We'll be right back right after this commercial break.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right. Thank you, Douglas. Welcome back to our second segment. And we have on the line with us Sharon Sanchez, and she's written a book about her life, about her story, called Blessed with a Second Chance. And I can feel my heart starting to race a little bit as we begin this story. Sharon, I'm just going to kind of open up the floor to you, open up the line to you, and just start telling us about what happened to you as a young child. And as we go through this, I'll jump in every now and then. But just start telling your story. Start taking it apart a piece at a time.
Okay. I'll start. First of all, I'll say it. I didn't write this book till I was 50 years old. So yeah. I couldn't say anything, and nothing came out until then. And it was after it was, because when I was a child, I guess it started when I was 5 or 6. My brother started to molest me, and it happened, and it continued to happen for the first few years. And I didn't know how to accept it. I didn't know how to take it. It took all my, how do you call it? I was ashamed. I was ashamed, and I felt like it was all my fault.
Yeah. During those years, Sharon, I think you said like 5 to 8, 6 to 8, something like that, years old.
Yeah.
How many times? Was this daily, weekly, monthly, twice? How often?
Maybe twice a week. I tried to avoid it. I would try to not go home, but I was a latchkey kid, so I would go home. I had to go home, but I would hide until my mom would come home from work, or I'd just stay out, just try to avoid it. But it happened about twice a week.
Okay.
For a few years, till I was 8. And the only reason it stopped then was because our house burned.
And can you tell me about that?
Our house burned down. What happened is my brother was mowing the lawn, and he put the gas can right in the back of the hot water heater. And my mom bent over, kicked it, and she blew up. And
I was standing there watching it, didn't know what to do. I froze. My brother ran through, pulling her out of the fire and running her towards me. Anyway, she was just all on fire. She just burned, had third-degree burns every part of her body. And anyway, so it's our house burned. I had to leave. I couldn't live there no more, so I had to go live with my grandparents. And that was, it was just another scare, just something else to make me feel like really, like nobody saw me. Nobody knew I was around. Nobody knew what was going on. You know, I mean, I was just thrown from one place to another. Staying at my grandparents as I got older, I just turned to drugs. I mean, alcohol. I mean, got in a gang. I did anything I could. And nobody else, nobody noticed me. Didn't even realize what I was doing. And I was just self-destructing is what I was doing. And I know that. But
yeah,
my family didn't know. Nobody paid attention. It was, I didn't matter.
Yeah. And when this abuse was going on, and then after, you know, you mentioned like between 6 to 8 years old, after it stopped, what was the aftermath of that emotionally for you as an 8 year old, as a 10 year old, as a 12 year old, as you go through that as a child? I don't know if there was any other abuse or not, but just that was enough. How did that affect you?
That abuse, it affected me by me not wanting to be with any boys. It's,
yeah.
I didn't want to be around boys. I didn't like to think what they could do to me. That's why I started drinking alcohol, because I thought if I just could make friends, I got in a gang. I started doing drugs because I could forget everything that had happened to me, and thought somebody would notice. I just tried to do things.
Okay, so after the abuse, it stopped, and then you become a teenager, you start getting involved in drinking, and you feel that the drinking and the alcohol and the drugs and the gang life was to cover the pain and the hurt? Is that what you attribute that to?
Yes, it was. I was trying to drown it out. I was trying to forget about it. I was trying to put it behind me. I couldn't talk about it. So I had to put it behind me. I didn't know how to make friends, so I got in a gang. I thought that would be my family, because they were close. They were closer than my family was. But fighting it didn't seem to be what I wanted either. So I just got deeper into drugs.
And what was your drug of choice?
When I was younger, it was just marijuana, and actually I used to I did everything there was. When I got older, I turned to crack. But when I was younger, I did angel dust. I did so much. It wasn't funny. It's not nice. I don't even like to remember back to what I did, but I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. And I know that,
And Sharon, don't I hear it in your voice. Don't feel guilty about this. You're trying to cover up pain, trauma, hurt, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. You're trying to cover all that up. You was dealing with life exactly how you knew to deal with it, and that was what got you through. That's not who you are. So don't feel ashamed about that, and I appreciate you being honest about it with us and in the book and with the world tonight. But we do things because we're hurting, and if it gets us through the day, sometimes that's all we can do to just make it through. And I appreciate that. So you're a teenager, you're in a gang, and these gang wait. Now, I grew up in a small little town in Illinois, Southern Illinois, country. We don't know what gangs are in Southern Illinois. What part of the country are you growing up in during this time?
Downtown Los Angeles, California.
Oh, my lands. You created gangs. Los Angeles is the founder of gangs.
Shootings and yes, we used to go around. They used to do drive-by shootings. I was there. I know I was a part of it. And I'm not happy about it, but it was going out on those cruising cars in the gangs and going to the rival gangs and fighting with them, trying to take over territory. It was bad. I mean, it was downtown L.A. You're talking really bad gangs. And you don't walk away from gangs. I could tell you that because now that I'm over 50 years old, a lot of those gang members still remember me. And that's not, you know, something I'm proud of because they don't let you walk away. They don't let you walk away.
So tell this little country boy here, how do you get in a gang?
They jump you in. 5-6 girls jump you in.
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Jump you in.
They, for 2 minutes, they 6 girls beat on you for 2 minutes straight. So if you survive that, you're in. It's not a pretty sight. Wow. They did it to me twice. Only because the older girls didn't get a chance to be there so that when the second time they kicked me in the head and knocked me out and they thought that I died because they left me in the alley. But I survived.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you when that was going on, when you was involved in the gangs?
I was 13 when I got in the gang.
13 year old young lady in East LA in gangs.
Yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't fun. It really wasn't fun. I mean, I guess at the time we used to think it was fun because we used to go to the parties and do the drinking and doing the drugs and hanging out with all the guys. I mean, but it's not fun. It wasn't fun. Yeah. It wasn't something a child like me should have been doing.
Yeah, and your family at this time was doing what? Was it from a dysfunctional family?
Yes, it is. It was a very dysfunctional family.
And in what way?
All my family, all the guys in my family were from the same gang, so.
Okay.
So it was, I was just trying to fit in. And that's how I did it. It wasn't very smart because by the time I was 17, I was pregnant.
Okay, you're a 17-year-old young lady in a gang, and you become pregnant.
Yep.
Okay.
So I have to stop the drugs. I have to stop the drinking because now I'm going to be a mother.
Yeah.
I did, though. I put it all away. I stayed away from everything until I had my daughter. And I tried to be a good mother for her.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't last.
Tell me about that.
Well, by the time she was 6 years old, I gave her to her grandparents so they could take care of her. And I just went back to I went to the streets. Now as an adult, I went back and just started doing crack. That was I did angel dust. I did PCP. I did anything I could do. I did it. I did it. And I lived out in the streets. I was homeless. But as long as my daughter was okay, I wasn't worried.
I mean,
it's not that I didn't care for her. I knew she was safe. She was better off with them than being with me in the street.
Well, yeah, and that was probably the wisest decision you could make, is to take care of your daughter by doing that. You knew she was going to be okay with her grandparents.
Yeah, it's okay for her to be safe, but it wasn't okay for her to not be with me. I mean, she, I don't know which is better off, me being out of her life or her seeing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want her to see it. I was ashamed of myself, but I loved her so much that I just wanted her the best for her. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't think that's the best for them.
So what inside of you caused you to, you said you cleaned up, you got straight, you had when you got pregnant, but then something inside must have caused you or pulled you back in to that kind of lifestyle. What was that? What was that, an external force of your friends, or was that an internal force that you couldn't handle life and that was your way of dealing with it? What caused you to go back into being homeless and on crack and things of that order?
Because, I was taking care of, when I had my daughter, I was working and everything started going wrong. I lost my job because I had an elevator accident and messed up my back. So I lost my job. I got kicked out of my house. I didn't know what else to do. The only thing to do was to give my daughter to her grandparents. My life was falling apart by the seams. The best place for her to be was there. And me, I know how to live in the streets. I could take care of myself. But I can't take care of myself with a child. Mm-hmm. And me losing my job, and I lost my job because of an elevator accident. I hurt myself, and I had to go to therapy 3 times a week. Because of that, they fired me. Mm-hmm. So, and I was doing good for 5 years. I mean, she had to be like 6 or 7 by the time I left her with her grandparents. But all I know is to go back to the streets. The kind of job I got after that was I was working in the bar and I was working in the head shop. I was working 2 jobs. And those 2 jobs barely supported my habit. Because I was back to dope. That's all I knew what to do. I mean, I didn't know how to go any better. I didn't know how to do anything better than that. So that's what I did. I went ahead and tried to just stay alive, actually, living on the street. I mean, when I lived on the streets, I met someone named Royce in 1995. I met Royce. And he was a truck driver. And he would take me in. He had an apartment. He'd take me, let me go wash up, get cleaned up, and then he'd lend me his car. And while he would go work out of town, across the United States, he was driving. And he would let me use his car and live in it. So I lived in his car for a good long time.
She lived in a car?
Yes. His car. He had a car, and he let me use it. And let me live in it. So the whole trunk and the back seat was full of all my stuff. I lived in that car for years. And then in 1995, I met this older man who promised me the world. He said, look, I'll give you everything. He says, I'll buy you a house, a beautiful house in Florida on the waterfront. Oh, and I'll get your daughter back. She could come live with us. We'll have a beautiful life. I'll let you take care of all these rentals I have. Anyway, he promised me the world, and I believed him. So we got married. 1995, we moved to Florida. It's a beautiful house. I have to agree. It was a beautiful house on a canal in Newport Richey, Florida. And he got my daughter back for me, and she was 15 at the time, and we had the most awesome time, I thought, until he started beating me. He was an alcoholic, and he started beating me. So when my daughter saw that, I couldn't stay there. And in Florida, you do not get to have him move out. You have to move out. The woman does. Mm-hmm. If they get into a fight in the house, it stays with the man, not with the woman. And that's the law in Florida. So he put her and I out. We went to a motel, and then I got arrested because I was trying to take things out of the house, and I got arrested. But they didn't have nothing on me, so they let me go. But my daughter was with her boyfriend at the time, that he took care of her, and I was so thankful for him to take care of her. And I and Royce, my best friend that I had lived in his car, he went all the way to Florida and got me. He did. He's a truck driver anyway, but he went and picked me up and took me back to California, and I got divorced. I had to get divorced. But after that, things just really, really started to change for me. Because what happened is in 2001, I went into a woman's home called Victory Outreach in Whittier, California. Mm-hmm. And I went into a woman's home and changed my life.
And we're going to talk about that. I want to go into that. We're going to dig in deeper on that point right there. We're going to take our last break because I want to kind of give you a chance to catch your breath a little bit. And we're going to come back and find out what happens at this Victory Outreach Whittier Women's Home in California. And we're going to talk about that just on the other side of this break. Don't touch the dial. Come back and join us on the other side, Breaking the Silence.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right, welcome back to Breaking the Silence. We just appreciate everybody listening in tonight. You know, there's some shows that we get to laugh and joke and really have a wonderful, joyful time. And then there's some shows that are just really raw. And we get to really find out what life does to people and how we respond to it and the devastation of just evil in this world and people doing things to people that shouldn't have ever been done to begin with. And Sharon, are you hanging in there okay? I know this is hard for you. You're doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yes, I am.
So we have you going from your childhood being sexually abused many times through those several years, you, being in gang activity, teenage pregnancy, you know, being beat up and things in the gang, like you said, to get in there, and then a bad relationship, maybe more than one, but you married into one that ended up being an alcoholic. And now you're back from Florida back to California again. What's your state of mind as you go into this women's home? What's going on? Are you just looking for a place to catch your breath, to let life catch up with you? Or what kind of turmoil, emotional place were you in when you walked in to Victory Outreach?
I was a mess. I had hit the bottom, rock bottom. And that's how I found out who was on the bottom, was God was there to save me. And I realized it. I never realized it until then that he was always with me. And I was so grateful the day I turned my life over to him.
Okay, so how did you realize that he was there? What opened your eyes to the person of God?
Okay, what happened is that I got in trouble with the law.
Okay.
And in order for me to it was either go in a woman's home or go to jail. Mm-hmm. Basically, that's what it was. And my sister had been, her husband had been a pastor for Victory Outreach out in the ranch in California. And so she had somebody call me who was a director for a woman's home at Victory Outreach in Whittier. And when she called me, she said the things to me that I needed to hear. Because at that time, I was high when she called me.
Yeah.
And I broke down, just broke down, and did said exactly what I, which wanted, well, I gave my life to Jesus that night. And the next day, yeah. I showed up at the women's home. And
wow.
You're supposed to stay there. They have a thing of where you stay there for 9 months. Well, I only had to do 6 months. So I did, but during that 6 months, I learned how to serve God with a pure heart. I learned to love him and just to honor him and to praise him and to just worship him. I did everything because I did it from my heart, and I knew he was there all those years taking care of me. Because how did I make it through that? There's no way I could have made it through all that stuff without him being with me the whole way.
Yeah,
you know?
And I want to throw this out to the people that's listening. If there's anybody that has words of encouragement for Sharon tonight and just wants to share from their heart, I would love for you to call right now, 888-627-6008, and we'll patch you right through. And you can just tell Sharon what's on your mind and what's on your heart after hearing this story. So I just want to throw that out as we have the next 10, 12 minutes left to go. If you have something you want to share, words of encouragement of what this story meant to you, feel free to call 888-627-6008. I would love for Sharon to hear what you all think out in the world after hearing a majority of this story. So you're at this Victory Outreach 6 months, and you give your heart to Jesus Christ. Bed of roses after that?
Well, I get
everything,
close with
everything's
my mom,
perfect.
My mom and I. Everything's not fit to break. It is.
I understand.
Good, going great. It's awesome.
Right.
And I'm loving it. But then in 2005, I lose my mom. So what do I do? I backslide. I start going back to drugs. And I just went and did a big bang and just lost it. And it was just like, that's not me. I have to stop. I know that God's with me, but he doesn't want me to be going back to the same things he took me from. Mm-hmm. So he didn't take it away for nothing. He did it so that I wouldn't go back to it. And so I didn't. I cleaned up myself, and I stayed with this man named Royce. And then in 2008, I turned around and came to Florida to visit my daughter. And she says, "Oh, Mom, you know what? You got a warrant out here." And I'm like, "I got a warrant? What do I got a warrant out here for? I didn't never do nothing to get in trouble out here." You know, and she's like, "Oh, yeah, you got a warrant, Mom, for a bounce check." I'm like, "Oh, yeah?" So I turned myself in, and, yeah, I had cashed a check at that time, my husband, and he closed the account. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But the last check I had cashed, he closed the account on it. So I got in trouble for cashing a check on a closed account. And they gave me 9 months for that. So here I am sitting in jail for a bounce check, and I'm like, this, I can't believe it. And then they have us housed in this tent, mind you. It's a tent. There's like, I have to be 100 women. And on the other side of the tent, like another 100 men or so, maybe more. I'm not sure. Anyway, and we're all in there for, I mean, there's like a couple months by then. And all of a sudden, this one of the corrections officer come in there and says, "Hey, everybody, get in line now, and don't take nothing. Just get in line." They took us all out of there and got us exactly out of that tent with 2 seconds before it got taken away by a tornado. And
wow, it took the whole
tent.
So it wiped out the whole tent.
The whole thing. I mean, all the bunks that were nailed down with screws, they pulled all the bunks out and it was gone. There was nothing. I mean, there was absolutely nothing left. And we could have been in there. It was unbelievable. It was God saying, "Here you go. I'm giving you another chance. Another chance."
Absolutely. Hey, Sharon, we got a caller on the line. Jennifer, are you there?
Hi.
Jennifer, Sharon's on the line. Sharon, Jennifer's on the line. What do you want to share with us tonight, Jennifer?
Hi, Sharon. I just wanted to say I was the guest last week on Dr. Williams' show, and I just wanted to tell you, you're so brave to come forward, and it's never too late. And I'm like you. I'm 50, and I've just broken the silence. And I just want to tell you, I'm so proud of you, and I'm your California counterpart over here in San Diego, and I get it. I know the life you come from, and you have triumphed, and you should be so proud of yourself. And I just wanted to let you know that I hear you, and I love you from afar, and just keep going.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
And hey, Jennifer, thanks for calling tonight.
Yes, Dr. Williams can give you my information if you ever want to reach out and just talk to someone.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Jennifer.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Isn't that neat, Sharon, to know that you have people that are your fans that are applauding you because of I don't think people understand, and Sharon, tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm wrong about a lot of things, but when something happens to a person, and listeners listening to this, at 6 years old, that affects you and your heart like sexual abuse does, it will affect the way you make choices for the rest of your life. Sharon, what do you think about that?
It's so true. It does. It makes you make the wrong choices. Because I'm not sure what it is, but it does. It makes you make the wrong choices. Now, some people don't. Some people can take that and take it in a different way, but not all of us. Not all of us.
Well, some of us pretend like it didn't happen, and that's what I did. And I did my wrong choices in different ways to where nobody knew what those wrong choices were. But they were just as devastating as you living homeless on the streets and being in gangs emotionally for me. Even though I didn't do those kind of things, the wrong choices I made were behind the scenes. And it's just as devastating, just as devastating.
Right. Yeah.
So take us up to the tornado takes your tents away and you get out of jail. And now it's 2020. How's things been the last few years as we wind down? We only have a few minutes left to go, but what's life like for you now? How do you use this story? Things of that order.
Well, no, I just try to share my book. I try to share my book with others because people don't want to talk about it, but it has to be known because it happened to a lot of people who don't talk about it. And we make mistakes, but you know what? There can be good out of it. There can be, because I found Jesus, and he leads me every single day now. He's with me. I abused myself, my body, with the drugs, with everything. So my health isn't the greatest anymore. But you know what? It's okay, because every day I wake up and I know God has blessed me with another day. Another day. Another day to praise Him for everything. I have my daughter and her family, and I live with them now, and I'm happy. I'm fine. I'm okay.
So you live with your daughter now?
Yes.
Now the same daughter that... Is it that not awesome?
That's my baby.
That's a wonderful full circle. And I hope and pray that the cycle ends in your generation.
It has. It really
that's wonderful.
Has.
That's so awesome.
She broke it, and I'm so thankful. And with that, that's why I'm going to write one more book, just to full circle. That's what it's called.
Wow.
Full circle. She broke it. So,
well, your choice has helped her break it, but your choice has helped her. You could have left her in the car with you. You could have made the wrong choice by not sending her to the grandparents to protect her. You were being led by a higher power at that point in your life to make that decision in a very clouded mind that you probably had. But you had that mother's heart that you took care of your baby. And I applaud you for that, because it has made her one dandy woman, I can imagine.
Yes, she's the best. She is the best mother. She is the best daughter. She is awesome. And she has a wonderful husband. And they have a wonderful family. And it just so happens that that boy she met at 15 when I lived out here is her husband now. And I'm so grateful for that.
That's a beautiful story.
Oh, thank you.
A beautiful story.
So blessed. Yes.
Okay, if there's somebody listening, I know there are, and I always try to give you give each guest a chance as we close out. If there's somebody listening tonight, Sharon, that haven't broken their own silence and is dealing with this internally in themselves, what would you say to them is the thing? Give me one or two things that they need to do to help them deal with whatever they've gone through that they haven't told anybody about. What would you say to them?
They need to break the silence. They need to. Okay. They need to talk about it, because the more you talk about it, the more it cleanses you. Every time I talk about it, it still makes me cry, because it just still, that I did those things, it just still there. But the more I cry, the more it comes out. The more better I feel. Because like you said earlier, tears are good. Tears are good sometimes.
And Sharon, if anybody wants to reach out to you, to email you, would that be okay? Do you want to share your email with the folks? What would that email be?
Miss Sharon D at hotmail.com.
Miss Sharon D.
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 At hotmail.com.
Fantastic. And I hope, folks, if you just want to write to her and email to her just what this meant to you. Of course, I get emails and texts immediately just as soon as the show gets off. I get all kinds of them. But feel free to write directly to her. If you want to write to me and I'll forward it to her, I'll be glad to do that. But Miss Sharon D at hotmail.com.
Yes.
Sharon, thank you for...
My book is available on Amazon. Yes.
Right now it's available on Amazon. Go in there, and if you get that, make sure you review the book. And it is called Blessed with a Second Chance, and it's by Sharon Sanchez. Blessed with a Second Chance is available on Amazon. And Sharon, thank you for joining me tonight. And Denise, thank you for introducing me to Sharon via email and phone. And Sharon, I applaud you. You are a champion. And I appreciate you telling your story tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Appreciate you being with me tonight. Tell you what. If anybody wants to share anything with me, you know how to get a hold of me. Would love to talk to you. You're welcome to email me or phone me or text me. However, you know all of my information. But I want to let you know, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter where you are, no matter what has happened to you, no matter if you're in the backseat of a car trying to live out of that car, I want to let you know, as this story showed us tonight, there is always, always hope. Have an awesome week. Join us next week right here for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence. We'll be right back.